Blessed be God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us. We may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So this is the time when I would invite children up for the children's homily. We keep our hearts open because we know that there are children who are a part of our place, and so I hold a children's homily even when children aren't here, which the gift in that means you all get to be the children. And so when I ask ridiculous questions, you have to answer the ridiculous questions because there are no children to buffer here for you. So these are all your questions. So if it were the case that children were here today, I would ask a question like, do you notice anything different about this Sunday from other Sundays? I see some nods. Somebody can answer. Is there anything different? Joycey's here. That's different. Oh, the bishop's here. Yes, yes. And today's Joycey's birthday. Man, you're being upstaged. Okay, so the bishop is here. He is sitting in the bishop's chair, which I also call the captain's Kirk chair back there behind the altar. And so what I did was I made one of those chairs out of Legos. You see it? And it's got this little symbol on it, which is supposed to be a mitre. Sometime when the bishop shows up, he wears that hat, and it's called a mitre. And we are reminded, because of the mitre and the crosier, which is a fancy word for shepherd's staff, that the bishop is here as our spiritual shepherd. It's pulling us together. And so the cool thing about this little Lego chair is that you can take it apart. And the little pieces of it represent all the pieces, us individual churches and individual people who make up this church. So I'm going to pass these down. So everybody needs a Lego. I wonder if I have enough. Wouldn't that be like a miracle? I've got four here. Two here. Simon's happy about it. Two here. Three here. Two here. I've got one piece of Lego left. Fishes and loaves aren't coming through today. Don't worry, Jeannie. I have plenty of Legos. Okay. So now you get to carry a piece home with you to remind you that you are a crucial part of what makes up this church. And the bishop calls us together as individuals in the church. And I wanted to tell the children about a special bishop. And it's also a godly play story. So this is Barbara Clementine Harris. And you might know something about bishops, but just in case you don't, bishops are people who are chosen to lead and shepherd an area of land called a diocese. And we've got that here on the picture. They carry this shepherd staff, not because they're actually out there shepherding sheep or people for that matter, but they carry it as a reminder, a symbol, to remind them that Jesus is the good shepherd, and Jesus has asked bishops and to be good shepherds. When Barbara was a child, she and her family went to St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Philadelphia. Her mother played the organ at that church every Sunday. At St. Albans, I got to say that she didn't have a big beard like Dale does. But Andy doesn't have a big beard, so I can't make that joke here at St. Thaddeus. But she saved up a lot of money and worked really hard so that Barbara could also learn how to play piano and music. And Barbara, from a young age, said that music made her very happy. When she got a little bit older, she did a lot of different things at the church, including acolyting and altar gilding and teaching Sunday school and playing the piano. She would play music. She also took a group of people from St. Barnabas to march with Martin Luther King Jr. for freedom. They marched in Selma, Alabama. When Barbara was a little bit older, after church, she would go to visit people who were in jail. And she would pray with them and talk with them. She had this saying that she always looked out for those who were left out and left behind. Folks who were left out and left behind. That those folks were really important. When she was 50 years old, she was ordained a priest. And she would carry this piece of paper everywhere she went. And on the piece of paper it said, "The power behind you is greater than any obstacle in front of you." The power behind you is greater than any obstacle in front of you. And she said the reason she carried this was she knew she had to do difficult things. And she needed to be reminded that with God she could do anything. Sometime later, Barbara Harris was ordained the first woman bishop of the Episcopal Church. And she claimed that as a bishop, her job was to shepherd people, to look out for those who were left out and left behind. I think that's the last little slide. But then I asked wondering questions. And the wondering questions are an important part of it. First wondering question is, what was your favorite part of the story? Yes, Loretta. Any obstacle in front of me. Thank you.
She was the first woman bishop.
She was 50 years old when she...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Left out and left behind. Yeah. Thanks, Sally. I wonder if we need to add anything to this story to have everything that we need. That's a classic godly pay question. Everybody's like, what do you mean by that? I wonder if we need to add anything to this story to have everything that we need. And the last wondering question, I wonder who you are in this story. I wonder who you are in this story. Thanks for pretending to be children again with me today.
Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good afternoon. It is good to be with you. Do what? Thank you. I had a chance to greet Courtney this morning. You may know this. Courtney's son John has joined our staff, the diocesan staff, in Knoxville. John is a real gift. So I was thanking Courtney for giving birth to John and letting him live in Knoxville. And letting him work there. And John and Catherine have a son named Lucas. And if you've ever been to the diocesan house, we're on the campus of the Episcopal School at Knoxville. So Lucas goes to school at ESK. He's in the first grade, is that right? And so at the end of school, Lucas comes down to our office, and he helps us every afternoon. And he has been very helpful to me. He's clarified many things for me. There are many things I now understand because of my time with Lucas. Also, it's good to be with you today, and thank you for being flexible in this worship that will involve walking and moving and to share a meal, to acknowledge 60 years of your witness in this community. I'm grateful that you all included this gospel lesson that we use when we think of Jude and Thaddeus, and also this passage, the opening acclamation. Blessed be God. Blessed be God who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. So that sounds good, right? That sounds good. But when you hear it, when you read it, when you have it read to you, blessed be God who is able to keep you from stumbling. So right there, I stumble on that very beginning, because who's ever stumbled in this room? Are we all on the stumbling team? I think we're all on the stumbling team, right? So I'm reading scripture. I'm reading a passage of scripture connected to Thaddeus. And at the very beginning, I'm thinking, wait a minute. God hasn't kept me from stumbling. I've stumbled. I probably will stumble later today. And not just the physical tripping, but stumbling, conflict, hardship, falling down. So it's not so much that God keeps us from stumbling, as maybe the Spirit of God allows us the belief that the fall is not final, and the stumble does not have to be fatal. So, realizing we're all going to fall, do I need to stop moving? Tom, are you back there? Okay. Ground control to Major Tom, but this is different, right? Okay. So, we're going to fall. But in falling, it's not going to be fatal. And it's not going to be forever. So it doesn't mean we have to throw out the book of Jude because Jude was clueless. But blessed be the one who keeps us from stumbling in such a way that I decide I'm done with you, or you're done with me, or we're done with church, or we're done with God. Because see, so often I think we believe, I used to believe that grace, you know, our need for grace, it was almost like if you go into a school, or you're probably in this church even, and you have that sort of emergency place for the fire alarm. You know, it's behind the glass. In case of emergency, you like strike that. But you realize when you strike that, there's going to be a lot of noise. So everyone's going to know there's an emergency, right? So sometimes I will live through my life and I will stumble and I will stumble and I will stumble and I will stumble, but I'll never break that glass, because I don't want anyone to know there's an emergency. So I'll stumble. When I was in high school, our principal was Mr. Inman. Mr. Inman was a sweet man, but not really observant. Okay? Give you an example. My junior year in high school, I'm walking down the hallway and I fell. I actually fell. I physically fell on the ground. Mr. Inman walking down the hall. 17-year-old splayed out on the ground, right? Mr. Inman walking down the hall. He walks down the hall. He says, "How you doing, Big B?" Just kept right on moving, right? As opposed to like, "Oh, might I help you? He just was sort of sleepwalking, right? Just sleepwalking. He was not noticing what was happening. God notices when we fall. And whether or not we break the glass and sound the emergency alarm, God treats your falling like it's an emergency. Grace shows up. grace shows up. So often we think we have to do it by ourselves. We think Jude is saying, don't you ever stumble. Jude is saying, there is someone who can help us when we stumble and get us back up on our feet and allow us to walk with the kind of certainty and a kind of confidence that you only do if you feel really confident. Y'all have mentioned that you've stumbled. Years ago, when we lived in Black Mountain, North Carolina, we lived in a piece of property where Susan's family had been for a long, long time. It was built as a summer place, but we were living there year-round, which is really great, except for winter, right? They're like, why would you live there in the winter? You know, it's North Carolina, it's 3,000 feet in elevation, but we're there year-round. So they have this thing called February. And so February came, and this snowstorm came, and this ice storm came, and we were socked in. We were frozen in, we were snowed in. But at some point, you have to venture out, right? You have to go to work. So I'm going to go to work, and I had these crampons. You ever had crampons? You put them on your feet, you can walk on ice. But sometimes if you're a guy, you think the rules don't apply to you, right? So I had my crampons right where they were really effective in my book bag, right? But I think I'm a big, tough guy. I can just walk on ice. So I start walking on ice. And the way that ends up, all of a sudden I'm flying, right? I'm up in the air. And I land on my back. And I crack a vertebra. Now, I'm okay. Don't worry. But you know what? Now when I walk anywhere, if I see a floor and it's shiny, I have a flashback, right? I think I could lose it right there. So I now know what it feels like to feel like at any moment I could fall. And that changes how I walk. And that changes how I view the world. And at times, it causes me to panic and to not move, right? You all bear the name of Thaddeus. So you bear the name of the one who, in writing to us, said, there is a God who loves us, who has made us. And it won't be that we'll never stumble, but when we stumble, God will hit the emergency alarm and will pick us up. And then get a load of the second part. Present us blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Present us blameless. God is going to see you. He's going to see your very best, true, real self. No marks, no stains, no smudges. You on your very best day, your very best moment, that's how God plans to see you forever. And what that means is, I've been reading a book on prayer. In this book on prayer, the writer talks about God being the real, capital R-E-A-L, the real. And that so often when you and I come to pray, what we bring in our prayers is a lot of unreality, a lot of all this baggage, a lot of all this garbage, a lot of all this projection, a lot of all this despair or sinfulness or brokenness. God just sort of blows through all that because God really, really just wants to see D. So all the unreality around D, God just, that all blows away. And what God sees through the grace of God, through God's choosing, is to see you blameless. Not because you never stumbled. Not because you kept it between the ditches all the time. But because God is willing to come and get us out of any ditch again and again and again. I don't need to tell you that we're living in strange days as a parish, as a diocese, as a state, as a world. But I do believe The very spirit of Thaddeus and the writing of that letter, and the very spirit of the people who have stumbled and gotten up and walked, forgetting the memory of stumbling, only remembering what it feels like to walk and to move, and dare say even run. That's the spirit that's descending upon you again and again and again. And in this reading of this gospel lesson, I'm going to be really brief. In this gospel lesson that we read related to Jude Thaddeus, the answer's at the very beginning of the gospel. Jesus says a whole lot of words, but the main thing he's saying to us is, I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And then he talks on and on and on and on about hate, right? And he says, there's lots of ways to learn how to hate. There's lots of ways to be divided in the world. That's not a difficult lesson to learn. The more difficult lesson to learn is to keep learning the lesson of how to love. Because whenever we love, our hearts are open, right? And when my heart is open, that's also a really good place for the sucker punch, right? And I've heard it said, particularly in the life of a church, there's no cut like a stained glass cut, right? Because your heart is open. And then when that betrayal or that hurt or that cross word, it hurts even more. So the invitation now and in the future is to continue to find ways, sometimes moving, sometimes stumbling, always getting back up again, to continue to learn how to love. And to be surprised how we learn how to love. Love sometimes takes our heart out of our chest, right? And our ability to love someone. Yesterday I buried a friend in Black Mountain, 94 years old. And the risk of loving is we get our hearts broken. The risk of loving is that grief comes upon us. But unless we're willing to risk to love, to experience grief, at some point we no longer really have a heart. It becomes a stone and a rock. So Thaddeus is saying to us, there's this one who will pick us up when we stumble. There's this one who will present us blameless, even though we know we are not blameless. God makes us blameless. And God teaches us how to love. It involves a heart that risks, a heart that is open. A blessing upon you and your hearts and our hearts together in this good and hopeful and real time. Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
That we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others, and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, lift up our prayers for your people. In the multitude of your mercy, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus,
remember me when you come into your kingdom.
kingdom. Jesus, bring for me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom,
thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your open hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, with all creation, we praise and magnify your holy name. For you sustain us constantly with your love. You never abandon your creation. Humanity. You send your prophets empowered by your Holy Spirit to proclaim the day of the Lord coming, and justice and mercy will reign supreme. And your desire to draw us deeper into your infinite love, you send your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a young woman, to open our eyes to your presence in the world, to live as one of us, to overcome temptation in the wilderness, to associate with all the lost people. Teach us about your kind abundance, to lay down his life freely, triumphing over evil, dying rather than remembering our sin any longer. Together.
On the night of the Passover, before we were handed over to the authorities, Jesus and his disciples were at the table. There he took bread, blessed and distributed it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to remember me."
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Good.